Welcome back, everybody, to the Who Do You Like Here podcast. Joey Sino, as always, the kid on a morning episode of the podcast. Breakfast with the Iceman. How you doing, kid?
I'm okay.
A little hoarse today.
A little sick. A little sick today.
March Madness, man.
Yeah, I guess maybe going to the bars or, you know, hanging out with people last weekend probably wasn't the best option. My pussy-ass immune system.
Just a little head cold for the kid.
Yep. And I guess luckily it's this week, not next week.
Yeah, better this week. Get some meds in you. Get some of that OJ in you this morning.
Yeah, hopefully we hit this pick five today and then, or on Saturday, and then I can pay for my medical bills.
It depends on what you win.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Recap of last week. Last week was Fairgrounds. Coincidentally, normally we do really good at Fairgrounds. We're only 3-for-5 at Fairgrounds last week.
I told you I didn't feel too good about that card.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I mean, in all actuality, I've got to start giving Joel a little credit that he's back.
No.
He's riding a little better than he has in the past.
What, his two mounts that he had on Saturday? That
I think he had 4 at some other track one day, right?
But that was at Sun...
Like Parks
it?
Or
no, Sunland? It was like Sunland, Sunland Park. Yeah, I mean, come on. Yeah, as soon as he starts riding in California and he's in the top of the leaderboard, which he wasn't this summer, or if he comes back to Gulfstream and starts winning races this weekend,
not maybe even close.
A little bit credit, but yeah. I mean, Santa Anita, he was pretty bad at Santa Anita this year.
Now he's the jockey that screws you out of the races, right?
Yeah.
That you don't put him in. And he's got some decent mounts.
We'll see what he does in Keeneland and in New York, if that's where he's going.
We'll see what he's going to do this weekend.
Yeah.
Actually, at Gulfstream. So just to recap last week. We started off Delahaye in the first leg. That was top pick. I know you really like the 13 in that, or the 14 in that race. I think the ticket had 13. We really got to fire our department. And then we had Red Route 1, which just kind of upset your touch upon a star and my money supply. So we ran second, third there behind Joel. I'm very busy. I ran Ortiz, fairly easy win. Gigante ran a big race in that race too.
Yep.
We called that one on the podcast. Webslinger coming in third, so that was a lock. Tarifa was probably the best bet of the day, and still got $5 for that horse, which I thought was pretty good. Getting 3-2.
That 3 horse again, the other Brad Cox horse,
and which
scratched.
Race? Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. The one we both liked.
Yeah. So,
yeah, you can't do anything about the scratches. Kind of changes the whole.
Yeah, it changes the momentum. I still think the other horse is something special, but maybe not. Maybe I've been. Maybe they saved me money.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll find out next time it runs. And then Catching Freedom in the last race. Mm-hmm. That was in Louisiana. So Anna Marie ran a big race.
Yep.
That was great. Tuscan Gold getting up for third. That helps out in their point standings for opportunities for the Derby. But Catching Freedom was pretty convincing. What's got the top of the stretch. Didn't have that Cox horse in there.
No, I did not. I did not either.
And Pratt. And Pratt seems to be one of these. Another one.
I told you, he should have raced at Fairgrounds.
He would have.
He would have been the top jockey at Fairgrounds.
Yeah, probably would have won 100 races.
Yeah, he rides, for some reason, he rides so well there. He's got it timed perfectly. Knows exactly what he has to do. But then, Santa Anita wasn't like the craziest of meets that he had. But
I don't know what it is about these jockeys
that
ride better at certain tracks. I mean, you decide to go to Santa Anita and that's where you're going to put your tack at. And then when you travel to these other tracks, almost like Saez did like 4 years ago. Remember, like Saez, everywhere he went, he would just dominate.
Just go everywhere and he would win everywhere.
Yeah. He was just dominating on stakes days and then go back and then he'd be on favorites and he'd go like over 8.
Yeah.
You know, on the regular meet. But so 3 out of 5 last week wasn't the best. There was a lot of action on NCAA, obviously, with March Madness, and that's what we were caught up for the most part. But I mean, it's not really been a bad tournament as far as NCAA is concerned.
I mean, not a lot of like buzzer beaters this year.
Yeah.
Not a lot of like crazy, crazy upsets. I mean,
a few.
Kentucky was a big one.
Yeah, at GCU. Grand Canyon. That was a good run.
Grand Canyon's got Grant Foster, though.
That kid's awesome.
Yeah, he's sick, and he's probably going to the league. So it's like you've got an NBA caliber player on your team.
Yeah.
Kind of makes sense. Him. Yeah.
He pretty much did carry that whole entire team.
Yale was a good upsetter.
Yeah, there were a few. I wouldn't say there was a bunch. And now you're down to a lot of the expected seeds, obviously, as of last night, going into the trying to get to the Elite Eight. But you got some upsets last night.
Yeah. Well, UConn, I mean, North Carolina, I think, you know, say what you want. A little bit of a soft one seed. And when your star player goes 0 for 9 from 3, it doesn't really help your chances.
Yeah. Average 21 point scores. I think 8 and 6 of those are free throws. It's a somber household today at my house.
Yeah, I bet.
Wife's depressed.
I bet.
Yeah. But it is what it is. They had a good year. Clemson, big surprise. Taking down Arizona.
I hate Clemson.
I know you do. I know you do.
Team so much. They should have lost to Arizona.
I talked shit about them in the auction, and they went really, really cheap because I downgraded them so bad. I think they went for like $60.
Yeah, I mean, that's another team that struggled from 3-2. Arizona, Caleb Williams in the first half, I don't think hit a single three-pointer. So,
Love.
Caleb didn't score
anything. Yeah. I think he scored 2 points the whole first half. So, yeah. No, I know, and an ex-North Carolina player, so go figure that.
Yeah, they would have lost regardless. Of
it didn't matter who they had. Yeah, they were going to lose. So I guess for me right now, I'm just looking for upsets. UConn, they just keep winning games by 20, 30 points.
Yeah, I hope they lose.
They're boring.
I don't know. Illinois could beat them.
Yeah, they're a team that could run with them.
Yeah.
And maybe compete.
Maybe.
Maybe we'll compete. See. So I'm looking for Purdue to go down. I actually want to see Houston win because I don't want to see Duke win.
I'd like to see Marquette lose.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Not. I was going to say.
I just like to see upsets now. At this point, when teams I really wanted to see get in there are out, all I want to see is upsets. So we'll see what happens there. But great week last week for you.
Yeah.
Unconscious Friday, last Friday.
Friday was good. Cooled off on Saturday.
Thursday was mild.
Thursday, I didn't get to go to Illinois.
Yeah.
So I had nothing on Thursday. I would have played.
There was a few you would have had.
I had a parlay cooked up that did hit. That was like plus 550. So I would have started off really hot. I had a couple good winners that I would have had, but I just didn't get out to Illinois. And then Friday, we were cooking.
Yeah. Friday was just unconscious. That's the kind of run you want.
Hitting parlays at 60% is almost an unheard of thing.
Was it 60 or 70?
Somewhere in the
range. I think it was 7 out of 10.
Yeah, maybe 7 out of 10.
I think it was 7 out of 10, and I hit 2 out of 4 that day. So, I mean, yeah, money was just flowing in. It was a fantastic day. Saturdays were the one misses, right? One rebound.
Yeah, one rebound.
One three-pointer.
Yeah, stupid. And on Saturday, even on Sunday, too. Sunday, they were just blowout games, too.
Yeah.
So it's like you couldn't really do much when the guys are sitting so not good for parlays when you've got guys on points or rebounds.
Yeah, sitting with, 9 minutes to go in the game, seven minutes to go in the game. That's where you really get a lot of your garbage rebounds. And
yeah, for guys that are in there.
Yeah.
They take the pull their starters with 9 minutes to go, and it's like, all right.
Yeah, you got a starter still in there catching rebounds when a team's down by 30. They're not even going for second chance points. If they're not making the bucket, they're giving the rebounds up on the offensive side. So, yeah, it's kind of changes the perspective. But you got to take that into account when you're playing these parlays to begin with. Like, well, if they're up by 20, if they're up by 30.
I don't ever anticipate a blowout except maybe if it's at UConn.
Yeah, I guess I don't even
bet on the UConn games.
I haven't touched a UConn game.
I don't bet the UConn games. I think that's the only team that I didn't.
Well, I don't think we could because of who they were playing. And the restriction. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Northwestern they played one time, right? Was it Northwestern?
No. I don't know if they played in the second round. I don't know who they played, but
I know I got denied one opportunity. Anyways, so NCAA tournament still going on, but we've got horse racing to get into, and we've got obviously good friend of the podcast coming on here. Elio Imbrone, the Iceman, going to be joining us here in about 30 seconds. But card-wise, big Saturday of racing, right? So you got a fantastic card. I mean, overall, I think it's probably one of the best cards at Gulfstream on Saturday from bell to bell. There's 14 races.
It's a tough one.
It's a lot of tough races.
Yeah, it's a very, very difficult, late pick five to handicap, lots of talented horses, a lot of horses that I don't know, I feel confident about them, but I don't know if I feel confident because the other horses in the field.
Yeah.
I do feel confident in the Florida Derby, though.
Yeah, you posted out there. You've got your pick. I was looking, and once you posted that, I'm looking like, I wonder which one. It's not going to be something obvious. When you post something like that, it's, you got some vision. Save it. Save it for the end.
Yeah.
Save for the end.
I mean, it's not like a, it's like not like a way off the wall one, but it's definitely not a favorite.
Okay.
In this race.
Okay.
So.
Good to know. We'll see exactly where that pans out to. Maybe I'll guess before you make your picks. Without further ado, let's go ahead and let's bring on the talent. All right, I joined the podcast for a breakfast edition with Mr. Ice, Mr. Elio Imbornone. What's up, Elio?
Glad to be here. Glad to be here. Took a while, but we're here.
Whatever it takes. Glad to have you on this week. Obviously, a big card here for Florida Derby and live from Miami. How's the weather?
Perfect. So sunny. I can't wait to. I'm like, I'm just about at the pool. I'm one leg out. So, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. You said you'd be in the pool all day. So,
yes.
Man of your word.
I will be there.
So you guys, are you guys going to the track for Florida Derby, or are you guys going to just do it from the handicap from the pool all day and just watch all the races?
I hope from the pool. I really do. So we'll see. We'll find out. I'm pretty sure we're home because, you know, like I want to be able to look at Oaklawn as well. Too. Yeah. So, you know, it's just, I feel like it's a little easier when nobody's bothered, especially because everybody's bothering Dave, you mm-hmm. know, like, so it's just like, I'm sort of like a protection for him on his bodyguard because it's like literally thousands. And it's great. I mean, it's awesome, but sometimes it's nice to just, you know, be able to handicap with nobody bothering.
And I think you were mentioning it last time we talked, you were talking about like the replays and trying to get to watch things on the the phone just doesn't work well there.
No, like the computer, like the service, what happens is usually on these big days at the beginning, Dave and I are there the first race, obviously 30 minutes before. There's not a huge crowd usually, but by like, you know, a couple hours in, the crowd is there and I feel like the Wi-Fi just gets ruined. So,
oh yeah, I'm sure it gets bogged down with everybody on the server.
It does. It is. That's exactly what happens. So like in the beginning of the races, you're able to do whatever you need to do. But by like mid card, you're like, you're basing everything on what you did the night before because you're not really going to get much action on the Wi-Fi late.
Yeah. Well, nothing worse when you know, especially in gambling, there's certain things you got to see, especially on the replays. If you can't watch it, you get glitched on. It's like you're going off the form. That's always tough.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you need to see what the problem was or why things happened the way they did and finished out the way they did. So, yeah, I get it.
And I usually have many problems, too, so that I like to see.
Doing any big contests this weekend?
No, I'm not in anything. No.
Nothing this weekend?
Just straight cash, baby. We're just going to try to win some money. Hopefully my partner's ponying up a lot of money as well.
You still have a seat in one of those, right? Isn't that still coming up?
Yeah. So actually I have two, but they're not until they're the next year's NHCs.
Okay.
So I have actually two $10,000 buy-ins on those. Cause I got into that online one about a month ago and that was from the original one. And I won another $10,000 seat. So I was lucky. And now I have two NHC seats for next year.
Nice. Awesome. Kid wants to get in that. He's going to have to get some information from you.
I want to start doing the contest at some point.
Yeah, the contest, they're every week, you know, they're sort of, you know, you would definitely be fine in them, but I wouldn't mind taking 10 grand in cash and have one buy-in.
Sure.
That's personally what I would like, so.
Yeah, I look at it. I just didn't really know the intricacies of how to get into that. I know you just have to like get your subscription right to the NHC and then and then you just buy in for whatever those contests are and then accrue points or whatever over the time.
Yeah. The only issue with those, like there's no buy-in for that one. So you actually, which is kind of cool, I guess, you can only win your way in. You know, all the tournaments usually you can buy your way in. But sure. That's the only one I believe that you have to win your way in. So it's pretty cool. I'll tell you, I did it one year. I played in it about 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was the most racing I think I've done in a day. It was like the day of the tournament. I was like, by the end of it, I'm like, I can't look at another race. It was something like 50 races in one day. You had to try to handicap. Yeah, plus you're in Vegas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, it's like you're ruined anyway.
You're
so.
Just overstimulated all day with gambling.
Yeah.
Which you never think would ever happen. You know, you never think you feel that.
Exactly. You never thought, but I just remember looking at the car like, all right, five. Like, I was just throwing numbers by the end of the
Yeah, what's the name of that horse? Yeah, I like that name. Throw that one
that
on.
That sounds good. Yeah, play that one.
Yeah.
I kind of felt that way this weekend with basketball. By the time Sunday came on, and they hit, I don't know what it was. It felt this year that the games were like so late. I don't know why they had like one game, then that finished, then another game, then that finished. And then they ran like four, five, six games, you know, the next 5 hours to like midnight. And I'm like, I don't remember it being that way, but by the time we were like Sunday night, you know, Monday's work day or whatever, and it's like, I'm kind of out of basketball. Mm. I'm ready to put on a fucking movie. And the games weren't that great and the matchups weren't terrific, but I was ready to put something else on TV and just like, I'm just done.
They want every ounce of TV time they can possibly get. Oh, I know. That's the issue. Before, they would run four soda at once. Now they want every minute of paid commercial time they possibly can get. So
Dragging it out.
How was IceCon? I know you guys just had that last week.
It was really good. I mean, I was so like, you know, you don't know what to expect, and it was just the guys were really fun, and it was 200 of us. You know, we went out two nights in a row, basically, but the second night, especially the day of the game, there was about 225 guys at DraftKings, and we basically, you know, had some drinks all day, and then we got bussed into the arena. You know, it's a college arena, so it was just kind of funny seeing us all like marching in this little college arena. So we really, you know, it was much better than expected. Obviously, they only had six goals, but we had a blast, and can't wait to do it again next year.
That's awesome. Almost seven. I mean, you guys almost got that last one.
Yeah, I know. We got. And the thing about Arizona, I think they scored like 10 goals in the last two games. Like they scored eight last night. They scored like six the night before. So they're really doing it to us now.
Yeah, now they're just rubbing it in.
Yeah, I get so many people like tweeting at me and saying, "Oh, look, you're one day too late." I'm like, "Yeah,
no, you guys, you were the closest too, on almost hitting that little slot on the goal."
Yeah,
guys, I thought you nailed it. I thought you had it.
That was pretty. I've never shot a puck in my life, I don't think. So I was like, I wanted to like make one pass before I actually shot it. But they're like, no, you gotta just shoot it right away.
That's it.
I mean, yours was closer than Witt's and Biz too. So I mean,
yeah, I know. I gave him shit. I'll say something about that ice right there. The ice, what I couldn't believe. And I never grew up in hockey, but that ice was not slippery at all. Like, I kind of ran on that. It was like, it felt like sand almost.
Oh, really?
It was crazy. Yeah, because I guess they said once they tear it up, like, at the end of the period, you know, they put the Zamboni had not got on it yet.
Oh, okay.
But I'm telling you, like, when I was going out there, I was like thinking, oh, shit, I don't want to slip, make a fool of myself. And it was like, you could run on it. It wasn't slippery at all.
Yeah, it's all like the ice shavings are all still up on it. Yeah, they probably left that on purpose. They're probably like, Now I bet on smooth ice, right, if they hit the Zamboni, I bet you your puck goes in. Probably goes in.
That's right. I'm blaming it on the ice. Yeah, I didn't think of that. Yeah.
The conditions. Yeah. It plays left.
It hit a little ice chunk in the middle of the ice on the way down. That's all.
You got to read the ice.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah.
Like, but I also would have fell down too. That's the problem. That's
true. Yeah, but making it and falling down is way better.
I was going to say high risk, high reward. Yeah. They, you know,
definitely.
Yeah,
done.
Better off.
They would have had to give you the seven on that. I mean, they would have had to take the goal. You know,
I would expect IceCon 2. Would it be in the same venue? Or are you going to travel it?
No. I'm not. It's not going to be there. So I would, you know, it has to be obviously with DraftKings. So it has to be in a DraftKings state, and it has to be warm. So I thought about there's some choices. Maybe Nashville is a good spot because Barstool actually has a bar there as well. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the leading contender right now. But I'm open to discussion with any team.
Nice.
We'll have to know. Maybe we can make the
that'd be cool. That'd be I would love to go to IceCon for sure.
So, you know what Dave wants me to do? He texts me after the thing. I'm probably not supposed to say this, but he wants me to like take three hats. You know how like they do like when you're picking a college team?
Yeah.
And, he's like, so he wants me to do that with stadiums next year.
That'd
so
be cool.
That'd
be awesome. Build the hype. Yeah, I would love that. That'd be awesome.
Taking my talents to Nashville.
Exactly.
I like it. Well, congratulations. I think looked like everybody had a lot of fun. Looks like it, yeah, it was a good venue, and excited for the next one that comes out. We've got a tough one today here. So we've got 14 races at Gulfstream. We're going to handicap the last five. Anything in the earlier card that you are strong on, Elio, that you looked at?
No, I'm not. I love the confidence. Yeah. I mean, even the five races we did, which I ended up spending way more time than I thought I would. It's just there are favorites here that make a total amount of sense. But like, I also think that if they don't win, then there's like a group of six horses can win.
Yeah.
So I'm interested. Basically what I was saying this morning, when I was talking to my wife, I'm like, I can't wait to hear these guys, because I want to hear their opinions, because I have an opinion, but like there could be like five or six horses in each race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well matched. I think that the card's well matched, well balanced, with a lot of horses that could win. I only see like maybe a handful of horses that if they win, be like, wow, I didn't see that. I could probably make a case for a big portion.
Yeah.
Of the card, at least for the late pick five specifically. But yeah, it's going to be a challenging one. I think it's going to be a good one. So we'll get right into it. If you're ready to go, Elio.
Ready to go.
All right. We're going to rock and roll here. All right. We're going to go to the 10th race on Saturday. Weather looks to be immaculate, by the way. It should be a great day for you, poolside or trackside, whichever way you go, Elio, you and Dave. But 10th race is a mile and a half on the turf. I think there was some rain yesterday, briefly. But there's nothing. I mean, so brief. Maybe it was like an hour. Sprinkle wasn't nothing. Everything should be on the turf on Saturday. Shouldn't be any problems at all. So mile and a half on the turf. The Grade 3 Orchid. That's a purse of $150,000 for fillies and mares 4 years old and upwards. Guest always goes first. Iceman, you got the honors.
All right. I'm going right to the four horse, surprisingly. It's a horse that has been, you know, second at what, three out of four races. I really love the race coming back. I think this was... It was at Gulfstream. Yeah, he came in second, just missed. And I feel like lately that's sort of been his MO. He's been very close. I'm not a huge fan. I think the six McCulloch can be beat, obviously, probably going to be the favorite. But I really like, he's really, even the race where they put him to rest, basically, at Saratoga on August 24th, he still, even though he probably ran his worst race in a while, he still was one length off the lead, which is pretty good. I think he's going to be, you know, a couple lengths back and makes one run. And I think could be third choice. So maybe you get all of 3-1. Mm-hmm. So I like the four, surprisingly.
I'm going to co-sign on that. I have a tough problem with this race due to the fact that there's no speed. I can't tell what the fractions are going to be or how the race is going to play out. It's just lacking of speed in this race. Now, Tower Bridge is probably, in my handicapping, should go the front. It's the only speed. And obviously every race comes down to pace, but I see the two setting up the pace, Tower Bridge. If he runs 50 and a half on pressed, it'll make for a really difficult race on the closers, I think, specifically on the turf. You know, we got the rail as standard, so it's not even like pushed out. So it's a standard race. There's no bias here that I can go off of. The speed is questionable, but under all that, if the two gets out there, I think it has a chance to definitely hit the board. But I'm going to take the four as well. I back your play. I could agree more. That first time out for 2024, you know, wasn't really getting backed in that race either at the PWC at Gulfstream. I mean, it was 26-1. Just a great, strong race. It kind of came back to where it left off after leaving Saratoga. And, you know, once it went to the Pletcher Barn, you get a little change. You're always concerned first time out. That's a strong showing. 86 speed figures, nothing really to really, you know, complain about on a horse that's consistently been in the low 90s. So that's not bad. So I do like, surprisingly, in the way the race is going to set up, more of a, I wouldn't say too deep of a close, should be a little more forwardly placed, I think, but the four is going to be my top pick. I think the one and the six make a lot of sense. That there's a class of this race. The one struggles with graded stakes races, and the times aren't that great. McCulloch is the wild card here because his first debut is coming up here on Saturday as well. I like to see one first from McCulloch. I think he needs one. You know, it's stretching out just a little bit from the mile and a quarters that it's ran before. So I think McCulloch is going to get a lot of money on there, and I think that's probably makes a lot of sense for the bettors. But I'm gonna go with the four on top. I'll have the one, the six underneath. But I do like Anatoly, and once R. Kelly Kim got scratched, I'm all over Anatoly. I gotta like Anatoly, and I mean, you know, second and third behind that horse. If I liked that horse, I've got to take Anatolian with it. And I think the time's really working. I like the stretch out too. Just needs a little more distance here. First time with Edgar Zayas, but I think that's got to be a play for me as well. So I'll go the four. Probably I'll go 4-8 with the 1-6 in the third position for the try, but I'll take all in the exotics though.
So I am a little hesitant on taking this pick because I'm never a huge fan of Irad on the chalk, which I think might be a heavy chalk for the race. But I think McCulloch, I think that horse, I mean, just looking on paper, is probably the horse that should win, right? I mean, it went to the grade one, went to the Breeders' Cup, obviously got blown out of the water, too high of a class race for this horse, didn't take to the surface as well. But as soon as you go back down to these grade twos, grade three races, this horse is right there every single time, right? So I think this horse is classy enough. It's dropping down in the class I want to see it at. I think it needs to race at. I think the distance is great for it. It's going to be closing late. You're getting Irad, depending on how he rides on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Could go on a tear beyond these favorites. So I have the six on top, especially in this field. I think there are a lot of horses that you can make cases for, but this horse has just been proven up until this point. And like I said, I'm very hesitant on taking Irad on a chalk horse because typically he just rips up tickets that way. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a love hate pick here, but I just think from the body of work and looking at this horse as a whole, I think it's probably the best horse in the field. I struggled between two other horses. One of them's a pretty big value play, but I like it a lot. The first one I struggled with is the one, I think, Joel on a Christophe Clement horse that's going to be able to close. It's going to be right there. It's ridden in big races, big fields. It's got the rail. It's got a good opportunity there. Anytime it goes to the mile and a half, you can definitely tell that's where it does its best work because that's where it's when it's races. So
yeah, two for two.
You know, two for two at the distance. So I like to see that. Hopefully it doesn't get confused running the opposite direction that it typically runs, you know, taking the turns a different way. But yeah, I think the horse that horse has got a strong opportunity there. And then I also like right to the outside, the seven, Creative Cairo, Julien Laperrue. I mean, if you take a look at this horse, I mean, taking all consideration, right, it's running $100,000 stakes races, not graded stakes races. But this horse is closing a ton of ground every single race, right? That last race was at a mile and a 16th. If you're going a mile and a half, granted, the race probably would have set up different. But if you're going a mile and a half, this horse is blowing away the field, right? Yeah. It's just eating up the ground late. So I think that Julien Laperrue is going to put this horse probably a little further back than he probably should, but definitely coming late. And Lindsey Schultz is at a 33% trainer win percentage and graded stakes. So does well in this spot. So I think at 12-1 underneath, is probably a really good value play. So I'll probably have six with the 111.
1-7.
Or 1-7, sorry.
I like the 7. I hit it circle. I've got all these pros and cons to it. I think you're right. It's not the distance, it's the pace.
Yeah.
So I don't know how fast you're going to see fractions early for a nice closing speed to be able to come from where I think Creative Cairo is looking for.
Yeah.
The late pace figures are all about Creative Cairo. Unfortunately, there's no pace to run down. If this two is lulling them at the top, I think that's where the problem is. And I don't see anybody trying to change tactics here in the race. That was my only concern. Now, contrarian here, if the two tries to go out and light them up and draw up by 5-6 off the stretch and try to run them out, then I think it sets up well for the 7. Absolutely. Yeah. I was just worried about, I would have had the 7 maybe if R. Kelly Kim was in there. Maybe I would have changed my thought process because I think the fractions would have had him a little fast if he was up close. But whatever. We'll see though. But yeah, interesting pick. We're kind of all over the board, I think, on that. But you don't like Surprisingly in that race.
I did not have Surprisingly. Okay. I might throw it underneath. I think, you know, coming in second a couple times, I think, we'll be right there late. I could be dead wrong in this race though. So.
Yeah. McCulloch makes a lot of sense. It really does.
It makes too much sense.
That's why I have to go against the obvious when it comes to Irad on a favorite.
Yeah.
I didn't really like the 227 at Saratoga at the mile and a half last time that it ran at the Glen Falls. That time at Saratoga, I know it's a deeper track. It's bodes okay for the time for that track. But I mean, when I look at Anatolian just two back here in 2024, ran 2:24 and 3.
Yeah.
Finishing third in the Leopard.
Also
Vine,
running so. Grade 2, though. Understood. Grade 3. So I think that's what I'm taking in consideration when I'm looking at it, right? It can go the distance.
Absolutely.
Distance is going to be an issue for him. And then, like I said, grade 1 was just too much. But then you take a step back all the way down to a grade 3, I think is kind of where this horse needs to sit, you know?
If they run the 50 at the half, then McCulloch probably wins it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. All right, that was a lot for the first race. Let's get to the 11th race. 11th race, the mile and the 16th. It's a grade 2 Gulfstream Park Oaks. It's for fillies 3 years old. This is the Kentucky Oaks prep race, 200 qualifying points on the line. Should be a good one. Elliot, where are you at?
So I'm into Champagne. Basically, I love horses that win first out as a two-year-old, and it was well met. It was a favorite as a two-year-old. Ran a nice 5.5 furlongs, won easy. They rest them and then rest her, and then they come back first race as a grade 3, $100,000 stakes, wins pretty easy too there. And then the third race, I think she's having a little issue of breaking. So in my opinion, if you're going to get really good value, because there's going to be, you know, a bunch of favorite horses ahead of her, if she breaks correctly, I think she's going to be all of 4 or 5 to 1. I really like the 5 into Champagne in race 10 and race 11, excuse me.
Anybody underneath?
I'd like 7 horses and I'd like 7 horses underneath. That's the problem. So I was waiting to hear from you guys to see what you guys liked.
I love it.
5 all. How's that?
There
5
you
all.
Go. I like that. I do like in Champagne, but I am going to take Ways and Means first time out here since the layoff. In the spin away, clipped heels, chipped an ankle, took this horse off the shelf for a little bit. Just the ability in this horse alone, out of practical joke, this filly has done in 2 races, a 98 debut first time out, and then a 93. And that was winning at debut also as a 2-year-old. So it kind of bodes well for your kind of method there too as well. Elliot, what you like to see, you know, favorite both times in the spin away, just like I said, this is the first time going 2 turns. And this is my concern with Ways and Means. You got the layoff. It's the first time going 2 turns after the layoff. I think this is a good one. If everybody wanted to go, hey, I'm going to wait one and see, but the workouts have been fantastic, and that's why I'm going to say that I don't think the distance is going to be a problem, and I'm just going to take Ways and Means on top. So I'll take Chad Brown and Irate Ortiz. Ways and Means in number 4. I will have Into Champagne underneath. I think that was a valid point you made. The Von Adel that the last time out, 86 speed figure, that was the first time going a route, was really good. And Fiona's Magic makes a lot of sense, who had beaten Into Champagne, which is the 8 horse on the outside. Just barely beat, and that was first time at a route as well. So, you know, a lot of these horses, first times, if you've got a time over a 2 turns or you've gone the mile already, you're only going to build on that. Just like when you break your debut, you figure your speed figure first time out, you're gonna do better the second time out. That's just a gimme, right? So I think both of those horses are on the improve. The only other one that I'm even concerned with at all would be Do Gooder, the 2, and I will have it on the ticket. It's a bump up in class. Both races that it has with 89,000 maiden race. Nothing really fantastic here, but both the form was pretty consistent. Speed figures are moderate. The workouts have been really good. I did like the March 10th one, especially. That's a 5 furlongs at 1:02. What I like about that is since the race that it won on February 18th, even though that was in the slop, I know the horse doesn't have to worry about sloppy conditions or fast conditions. I think it's going to run good on either one. But I think seeing the 5 furlong works and trying to start getting it some more stamina here to continue to go on the miles and longer is what they're trying to do here with the horse. And I like that workout kind of supports where it's coming off that win. So I'll throw the 2 on there as well. I think it's one I don't want to leave off the ticket. So I'll put the 4 on top. First time out, take the chance, Chad Brown with the 8.52.
I like where you guys are at. I actually landed on the 5 as well, Elio. I have Into Champagne as my top pick. The one thing I saw here and the one thing I liked a lot is the constant progression with this horse, right? They started off at 5.5, did well, then started, then went to a 6 furlong and a sloppy track, did well, and then bumped it up to a mile, and obviously still did well in there, and the Devon Adel just kind of came up short. But the progression there is something I'm looking at. It's Julian Lapeyrou and Ian Wilkes. They do team up quite a bit, especially in Kentucky, so I like the connection there. It's out of Into Mischief. This horse is 2 for 3 and really just right there every single time. So, I mean, this horse is very impressive on that standpoint, training very well going into the race. I think for a 5-to-1 price, you're looking at a pretty good, a fair price for that horse. I think it should even be shorter than that. So I like five as my top pick here. I have three horses underneath. I do have the two underneath. I think Do Gooder with Javier Castellano and Jenna Antonucci. Obviously, you know, the success they had last year. They do team up here at Gulfstream Park. She does have some pretty good horses in her barn, and they typically are underneath Javier when he does ride. So I like to see that. Horse looked really well last time out, granted on a sloppy track, but still looked very nice. I have the four underneath as well. I think Ways and Means is, you'd be silly to leave it off the card after that grade one performance last time out. So I have the four underneath. And then the only other one that I took a look at is the eight, Fiona's Magic. I think this horse, just from the speed perspective, is going to go out. It's going to be the one that's going to try to set the pace. If he gets out clean, or if, you know, she gets out clean and nobody presses with her, she might be able to have it her own way. And then everybody's going to be picking up the pieces late. So that's why I kind of gave the nod to the five still, because this horse is able to pick up those pieces and able to go into a very fast fraction and still win. Especially if this horse breaks better, you know? Yeah. So, I think if the five gets out and doesn't have any issues with the break, and she's sandwiched right between two other horses, you know, if she gets out clean, gets in a good position, I think Julian's got a good run. So five is my top pick, but I'll have the two, four, and eight underneath.
Yeah, it sounds like we're kind of aligned on that.
Yeah.
One. You like the five a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to make a point is, if you look at the two, Do-Gooder, been on Lasix both times, and obviously it's a non-Lasix race. So when I'm looking at the workouts, obviously there's a time duration that you got to be off the Lasix. If that's what the indication is from the March 10th to the March 20th workout, a 1:01 minute and 2/5 and a 1:01 and 1, that kind of scares me. Or maybe they just, maybe it just wasn't an aggressive workout coming into the race. Hard to tell, but I mean, I wish I would have known a little more about Do Gooder off Lasix versus, two races on Lasix. Doesn't give you a lot of tell, how much that's really helping the horse out. I'm sure it's helping it immensely,
right?
So I don't, that's the only concern, I guess. That's why Do Gooder is a little drop, because the early pace figures are really well for Do Gooder, and it should be fourly placed. So we'll see. Moving on to the 12th race. 12th race is a mile and a 16th. This one's back on the grass. $150,000 non-graded stakes race. The Sand Spring Stakes. Fillies and mares, 4 years old and upwards. The rail's at 66 feet for this one, so they're kicking it out. 66 feet. You know what I always say, it goes to speed, but we'll let Elio show us the way on this one.
This is a race that I think if you're not going to play the eight markets, Gemption or whatever, Gemtation, who's 7-5, and I'm not going to play her on top, although I understand why you would. It's one of those races where if you don't like the favorite, I feel like any other horse could win. So why not play a price? I'm going to take the 5, Fuente over Juna, I think that's how you say it.
Yes.
I think coming back to his 50-year-old season, I think ran an incredible first race coming back, and I really like the workouts coming in. And I watched the race at Gulfstream last time. He got in a little bit of trouble. He was at 30-1. He was a length and a half off the win. But again, if you're going to not play the eight, who I think obviously would be the clear favorite, got the best buyers, get best everything about that horse, but also hasn't run in like a long time. So, you know, first time off the layoff, maybe you need one. That's what I'm hoping. I'm going to take the 5 at 15-1.
I like that. There's a lot of good underneath horses for me in this race. 5 definitely be one of them, but it's hard for me to go. I'm going to go with the odds on this one. I am going to go with Jose and Chad on this one. I'm going to take Market Segmentation. Listen, the horse runs well on or off the Lasix. It scratched just a few weeks ago back, and they chose this race for its 2024 debut. So I think if it had the option, definitely I think it was an easier option in the race that was scratched. It was a trainer scratch, so it wasn't health issue. So that being the case, if they chose the scratch on that day to get this race, better option maybe, or whatever the trainer saw, whatever Chad said or saw, he thought this was a better spot. And I'm going to trust his judgment here, because I don't see anybody beating Market Segmentation. So going to be probably chalky as hell, but I am going to take the 8 on top. I mean, 8 races, 5 wins, a second and a third. It's 2 for 2 at Gulfstream Park. It's hitting the board every time at the distance. It's 4 wins out of 6 times at the distance. I think it just suits him well. You got to cut. I love the drop in class, cut back in distance. It's a big angle for me. So I'm going to play it. I know it's first debut. It's going to be a lot of these that we're seeing here right now, especially in some of these stakes races, probably for the rest of this month, maybe a few next month, where you're going to see still first debut on these lightly raced horses that are getting up in age. But The workouts are also great. 49-1, 49-1, 49-1. I mean, you could be more consistent than anything than seeing the workouts from this horse every time when it runs 4 furlongs over the past, three, four weeks. So let's just go ahead and take the 8 on top. I'll go chalky as hell. I think underneath is where you're going to find the price. I think the 5 is a great opportunity, as you said, Elio. I'll definitely have it on the ticket. I think the 2 typey is interesting also. I like that one, 2 back, optional claiming 25,000. Big jump up here, but off the LASIK still runs pretty decent. A little flat. Still runs pretty decent, so I like that one. I like the 6. I think the 6 has got something that, you know, Cairo Consort is one of these horses that it's either if you go 2 back, you go, wow, what happened in that race in the grade 2? Well, I just don't think it was a great trip in general. Didn't get a great break. Never really breaks terrific, but when it gets a little more forwardly placed like it did the last time out of mile and 3/8 in the very 1, it ran a little better. When I'm looking at this, it's also kind of a drop in class slightly and a cutback in distance. So I want to put the 6 on the ticket, and it is, you know, an Ortiz. So you got to keep him on the ticket. Candy Light, the 1 is interesting. This is Safi and Zayas. This is one that runs also okay off LASIK. And that's kind of my concern with some of these horses that have never gotten off LASIK, but the 1 is one that's consistent, has some decent speed figures as well when it's off the LASIK. So I guess I'm going to go with the 8 on top and try to get something underneath with the 5, 2, 1, and 6.
I think this race is very wide open. If it's not going to be the favorite, you're going to get a fat price on any one of these horses, because I think that market segmentation is going to be even shorter than 7-5. I'm going to try to go against as well. I don't want to take the chalk in this one. I'm going to have the 6 on top. I think that Irad and Cairo Consort, they're running in these graded stakes races and just not getting the job done. Last 2 races weren't ideal. If I'm looking at that December 23rd race, it's kind of what I want to see. The horse, I mean, ate up a lot of ground and only ended up losing by a length.
Yeah.
I think that's the type of effort that I'm hoping that we get. We get Irad back aboard. I was a little concerned that Ryan Moore couldn't get more out of this horse. You know, when he rode this horse on January 27th, but that also just tells me that he wasn't comfortable on the horse and maybe just didn't know how to ride this horse as well as maybe Irad does. So
yeah.
I think Irad's going to give a much better ride here. I think this race is going to be kind of funky. I think it's going to be kind of weird. So I think the 6 is a really, really good shot. As being an upsetter, it's going to be very difficult to beat the 8, but I think he has a good shot. And then I have the 1 underneath. I think the Safi Edgar Zayas connection is very strong. A little concerning that when it gets on the turf, it doesn't really, doesn't do too much.
Yeah,
you
when know, it comes on the to synthetic, turf, it looks like synthetic.
Synthetic is definitely better. The spot for this horse, yeah. I think. But, you know, when you're getting on the turf, I think that obviously Safi knows the spots to put these horses. They're getting the rail.
Yeah.
You're getting a good training regimen going into the race. It's done very well. Good speed figures across the board. Very consistent horse out of Candy Ride. I think that there's a lot of things that you can look at and make a case for at a 5-1 price, probably a little bit higher on race day. But I'll have that one underneath. And then obviously I have to throw the 8 underneath. I might just get really, really fancy and just go 6-8 straight. You know, as my exacta, but, 6 with the 1-8. I mean, I don't really have to say anything about this 8. It's by far the classiest horse in this race. So, it makes the most sense. Again, it makes the most sense, but again, from a price perspective, you're not going to get a ton out of it.
And there's not much pace in this race.
Right.
There's another race that is lacking of speed. Again, it bodes well for forwardly placed. I think that it does for, you know, and that's kind of contrarian to what the turf has been. Has been closers, a lot of way off the pace, and I don't know if that's going to be the case come Saturday. And with the rail at 66 feet, I think the farther you are to the front, the better off you're going to be. I think that definitely bodes well for the favorite here, and I think that your Cairo Consort, I think, has a big advantage as well, being forwardly placed as typical. So we're going to see how it all plays out. Some of these races are really a big concern, but the 5, Elio, I think could also be right there near the front.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You were talking about no speed, and you know that we're probably going to get in one of these races. Somebody's going to steal it, because you're right. If there's no speed and one of these goes and nobody goes with it and they run pretty easy times, we might get a big price.
Yeah, and that's all it takes, is just somebody to go out there. And everybody else wanted to do the other thing, which is coming off the pace.
Yes,
we've seen it a million times.
Remember, we were talking about it. It was a couple weeks ago. It was like a horse went like 50 or 25 and 50. Yeah. And it was like
the slowest fractions ever.
To,
Yeah, it's like, why would you? That was the three or what? I remember that race. It was like, why is nobody pressing? I think that was the race that we had. We had IRAD and you had Junior. I had the one, you had the seven. I had Fluffy Socks, you had the seven. And just nobody touched the three on top. The fractions were absolutely crawling. And then by the time I got to the top of stretch, everybody wanted to make their move. I believe Alvarado was choking the seven back from going.
Yeah, everybody wanted to hold horse.
Everybody wanted to hold. Yeah. And the three walked home and went by a length. It was a merry-go-round. So you never know.
And that could happen in one of these races because, like you were saying, there's not that much speed. If one of these horses goes and everybody else sits on their horse, you know, when you were talking about, what was it, the two and...
Yeah, Type B.
Type B. So anyway, yeah, we could get one of those. And that's the frustrating thing. It's sometimes you don't know about the pace.
Yeah, well, the thing with Type B is he's tactical. I mean, he doesn't have to go. He could sit off stalking. You saw that in the last race with Castellano when him in an optional claim. I mean, he just came off from eight legs. The race before that was off the pace. But if you go back to its 3-year-old campaign, you got nothing but speed breaking out and trying to break its maiden. Yes. It was designed to go out. I mean, if they change tactics, which is possible, and you see on March 15th, you've got a 4-furlong workout in 47-1. If they're trying to put some speed and get to the front in this one and nobody wants to go, Julian could just sit out there and coast. And listen, Jose DeAngelo has been having a great meet, if you ask me. I mean, 50% win, 25s. But I mean, hitting the board is ridiculous. And I think he's got a great option here with a horse that if you've got tactical speed, you can't follow a form. Because if you have tactical speed, tell the jockey, break. If nobody's going, go and get to the front. If you see speed and he's going to be in the inside, so he's going to be able to look out and see who's going for speed. If nobody goes, he might just coast up. So
feel it.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting position. I think it's an interesting horse. Anytime you can get a tactical horse in a race without speed, it can be very dangerous. Let's move on to the 13th race. 13th is a mile on the turf. It's the non-graded stakes, $150,000 Appleton Stakes for 4-year-olds and upwards. This is a tough race for me, but Elliot, where'd you land?
So I really like the 5. I really like Never Surprise. Could be my favorite pick of the day. I think Fletcher really loved this horse, really loved it, and must have had something go wrong with it. Sat it for almost a year, over a year. But if you look at his races all before that, one grade two, one second grade two, win $100,000 stakes, a couple in a row. And so he's basically off a layoff for a year. And he runs a 7.5 boost here at Gulfstream about a month ago and was just primed to win, lost by a neck. But you can understand that sitting off a year. I think this horse will be ready to go. I think this horse will get the lead. I think this horse will go wire to wire.
Wow, that's a strong pick. Wire to wire. I landed on the 4. And again, I think it's because this is another one. It seems like I'm picking a lot of fucking horses that are coming off for debut in 2024 this week on Saturday. I don't know what I'm just realizing like none of these horses have ran this year. And now I'm kind of scared, but I'm going to go with the 4. I really like the last time it ran, which is in November at the Artie Schiller, 134-2 time. Just Rosario has run this horse numerous times. He's only got one loss when he's been on the back, and that was in the Kelso at Saratoga. And I'll give him a pass on that one because it was Casa Creed in Annapolis that he lost to. But for the most part, at the distance, 8 times out, 5 times in the win. And Rosario's got, like I said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 6 on the form. And then I go to the workouts. March 1st, 5 furlongs, 101-3. March 10th, 5 furlongs and 101-2. And then March 21st, 5 furlongs and 102-2, breezing in. So I just like everything setting up for this for Christoph on debut for this horse. I'm going to take it on top. I feel real strong about the 4. So if you feel strong about the 5, I think it's just a 4 or 5 exacta.
There it is.
But I will throw my try picks underneath is I think the 3 Ice Chocolat, I think is interesting. So I want to make sure I don't leave the 3 off the ticket. There's a couple reasons. It is a closer and the closing has been boding well. If I got speed on top, I'm going to need something to come underneath it late to try to make a price. I think the 10 and 11 on the outside make a lot of sense too. Title Forces, this is 4 barns and 4 races. This is probably your speed, probably going to be 4 the place from the outside position. You get the Ambassador Speed, Yarimio on the outside, moving up in class for sure. But only way I think it's really ever going to be able to win this race is going to have to be right up there. So if it's contending early and speed holds, it's going to be in the try. And I think Churchtown from a stalking position, if you throw out the Kentucky Downs race, three back, just scratch that one out. It's Kentucky Downs.
Yeah.
If you scratch that race out, the body of work is really, really good. A lot of non-graded stakes races and two graded stakes races where it was competitive and just missed. And now you're getting Javier Castellano. I think that's an upgrade. I think that's a big help. And you've got two bullet workouts that support that this horse is fit and ready to go. Speed figures are strong. If you see anything near the 24 and 149 flat, 113 and 2 and 137 and 3 that you saw two back, I think Churchtown could probably be the winner in this race. But I'm gonna stick to my guns. 11 probably would be my second choice. I'd probably go 4-11 with the 5-3-10.
I also landed on the 4. I think Big Everest, Joel Christoph. I'm really, really hoping that this is one that I can make good chips on. Joel. Yeah. I mean, this horse historically has to go to the front, has to set the fractions, and hopefully it holds on. This is a great spot for this horse, right? I mean, as soon as it gets into the graded stakes races, it gets a little wonky, right? But when it sits in these $100,000-$150,000 stakes race, or just, you know, non-graded stakes races, it seems to get the job done, especially under Joel. So he obviously knows the winning formula with this horse. I really like the training aspect, right? A 102 and 5, a 101 and 5 and, on March 1st. So, I mean, the horse is working out very well going into the race. He's got very good, consistent, solid speed figures going into the race. So I am very high on the 4. I also had underneath, I had the 6. Quality G, that's Julian LaPerru. I think that this horse has been right there every single time. The last four races you can take a look at is coming first and second. Yeah, you got to take in consideration the class that it's racing in. But again, motoring late, eating up a ton of ground and right there. And so I think that this horse sneakily at a 12-1 price is going to be okay, especially underneath. I don't know if it's got enough to get the job done and win this race, but definitely take a step up and scratch the board for a decent price. So I've got the 6 underneath, and then I also have your 11. I have Churchtown. I think Churchtown dropping in class, getting a nice jockey aboard, running in this type of field has a really good opportunity. Again, at 8-1, I don't mind that. Training very, very well. Solid speed figures, the distance, the surface, none of that's going to be an issue for this horse. So all things considered, I mean, yeah, I'm really high on the 4, but I have the 6 and the 11 underneath.
Okay. Again, the Quality G just beating out the 5 last time out by the nose. So you're both coming back off the same race.
Right.
And I could see where you could support that too. Elio, anything in addition on that?
No, but I agree with the 6, Quality G. I was really torn with that horse too, because just the way the horse has improved. I mean, the last like 6 races right there, even though like they had to figure out where he was, it had him in a 35 claim race.
Yep.
And then, you know, right after that, it just went on an absolute tear. And I was like, that's definitely a horse underneath for me. I could definitely see that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hitting first or second at a 50% clip, right?
Every time,
it's 3 for its last 6 races. It makes a lot of sense. It might be a pretty big jump, you know, and
that's the only thing is the class jump,
you know, but if this horse ended up winning the race, I would not be surprised.
No,
you know,
no,
cause if you look at the form, you're like, I can see it, you know,
2 wins in a second out of 3 trips over Gulfstream over the surface.
And they're like perfectly timed runs too. Right. I mean, they're,
you got 2 races of career best speed figures back to back. I mean, at 93 is its career best, and it's hit it twice in the 2 races.
Right.
So, I mean, the horse is in better form in its 5-year-old campaign than it was in its 4-year-old campaign. So,
yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's something you want to see and get some confidence built up. I think that's strong.
Right.
You know. Yeah. Now you kind of.
I mean, I think the only thing too, right, is
you just stretch out my ticket like another fucking $150.
Yeah. I mean, the thing there though is that IRAD, right, was giving this horse these perfectly timed runs, right? And then so, I mean, even give a nod to your 5, and I'm probably going to throw the 5 underneath on my ticket as well, is that, you know, IRAD's now making the move to the 5 instead of the 6, right? So
yeah.
He's had some really good success there, but that probably also speaks to the type of horse that they have in the 5 here as well, and what Todd wants to see out of this horse. So
yeah,
I'll probably have 4 with the 5-6-11 there.
Okay. So, but you won't get off the 4, though. You're pretty strong.
I'm really strong on the 4, but I think that there is some something to be said about those 2.
Yeah, I like that. 4, 5, 6, 11 probably would be our consensus. Elliot putting the 5 on top. What's the odds on the 5?
5-1, I think.
5-1.
Okay. I wonder if IRAD's going to drag that down. that far?
I don't know. It's probably a tough race. I mean, it probably is.
When
right,
is he not? I guess
it is right. Iran.
But this could be one of those 6-to-1s that
your favorite, your morning line favorite, is 7-to-2.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this could be one that could drift up a little bit. You know, actually, on him, and he could steal. A
lot of horses in there that can do some damage.
Yeah, that race scares me. It's always that fourth leg.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, for me, that's the wide open leg. I felt way more confident in the two previous. I like Joel. I can't trust Joel right now.
Right.
I can't trust him anywhere. Except to screw me over, which he did with Red Rot 1 last week. let's move into the finale here, which is the mile and an eighth, race 14, grade 1, Florida Derby, $1 million purse, 3 years old. We obviously know Derby prep. Let's start it off with the Iceman, see what he's got.
I went right to Conquest Warrior. Oh my God. I really like him.
Oh, what? Really?
We're in sync.
We had a setup here. The kid's been holding back who he liked, and I was gonna guess when it was my turn to say who he liked, but you just blew his nut by saying you like Conquest Warrior.
Go ahead, Elio.
I was gonna say
I'll co-sign everything. You
I was
say
gonna
here,
say that.
So go ahead.
I was gonna say Conquest Warrior because it's Jose. Go ahead, Elio.
So are we not? Are we trying to beat Fiercest? That's the consensus. Is that what it is?
Yes.
You know, like. Yeah, that's what I figured. You know, the horse, those horses that like Fierceness, who like absolutely tears it up twice and then runs a couple sort of so-so races, you know, that gets me nervous, especially on the comeback as a three-year-old. It sort of just ran a, you know, okay third. But where you see the 9 Conquest Warrior sort of getting better every time, and I think the further he goes, the better he'll be, you know, and I think the money's, for me, I make some of my play on the money too, because I think Fiercest is going to be bet like a, you know, savage, and where you're going to get 3 or 4 to 1 on Conquest Warrior, where I think, you know, maybe on the best day, Fiercest might pull ahead a little bit of Conquest Warrior, but you know, Conquest Warrior is a much more consistent and I think is on the improve much more than Fiercest. That's why I'll take Conquest Warrior 3 or 4 to 1.
That is that I know the kid's smiling ear to ear. He loves it. So you were talking about obviously beating Fiercest, right? Everyone's talking about Fiercest. I want to break this down. I'm going to go out on a limb on this race. I don't like Fiercest in this race. Would you do me a favor? If you look at the body of work, if you got the form up, Elio?
Yes.
Okay. So the horse breaks his maiden, 137,000 on debut,
yep,
pretty convincingly by 11 lengths. Then they put him in. Then they put him in the Champagne. Yeah, sloppy track. Didn't like the kickback, but seventh by 20 lengths, grade one. Too much too soon, and then they put in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, right? Kind of doesn't make sense. They must have said, "Oh, it's the sloppy condition, didn't like the kickback," but it broke its maiden in muddy. So okay, whatever thought press this they got something special here. They put in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and it wins. They give it some rest. It comes out in the Holy Bull, runs third, a very flat third, if you ask me. Flat outside third, run, yeah. Did not fire, didn't have anything. Now I ask you this. If you look at this body of work, if he comes in fourth, if that November 3rd race at Santa Anita and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, he comes in fourth, are we talking about this horse in the Kentucky Derby?
No.
Exactly. And I think everyone's got these optics that they're all locked and loaded on that Breeders' Cup Juvenile race. And I think because, it won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, it should be a Derby contender. It's a contender, but there's only two horses that have ever done that. To win the Juvenile and win the Kentucky Derby, that Street Sense of Nyquist. So why we're so fixated on Fiercest, especially after that last race that he ran flat, he's probably going to improve. He's probably going to have a better race. I'll give you that. But I don't think this is the horse that we were talking about in November. Oh, can't wait to see this horse on Derby Day. That's not who I'm looking to support.
Don't let Rapoli hear you say that.
He can say whatever he wants. The president can say whatever he wants. I said this before. My pick's going to be Hades. You got to prove me wrong on a horse that has been just nothing but a level of consistency as far as the performance. From 5.5 to 7, first time at a route dominating and beating Fiercest. Like, that's the race that he just drew off. Had the inside position, is going to have the inside position again, will be fourthly place. You know that Fiercest has to go out, right? How do you beat Fiercest if he's going to be the chalk? How do you beat him? He has to go to the front. He's coming from the outside. So if you, any speed you can take from him early on out of that horse is a plus. So you got to cross over. It's a very short turn coming into Gulfstream Park to that first turn. It's not very long from where the gate starts. So he's got to get out, get over and get position. And I don't think he's going to be able to clear all the way over to the rail. If he does, he's using even more horse. He's still going to be 2-3 like he was in the Holy Bull. So I have no reason to think Hades isn't going to do exactly what it did before and still be able to win this race. Going 4-for-4, that's the horse you're going to talk about. Holy Bull. You're going to talk about him winning the Florida Derby and then getting the 5 weeks and going into that's the horse that you're going to be talking about. Fierceness won't be getting talked about after Saturday. So I'm going to take the 2 on top. That being said, I think there's some underneath that you don't want to leave off. 9 being one of them. Conquest Warrior, you've got to have on the ticket. Everything you guys said, on the improve, 2 times at a route, 2 wins, very strong, good pedigree. There's nothing I don't like about the 9, and I also like the running style that fits well with the speed at the top, so a little bit coming off the pace. So I've got the 9 underneath. I am going to have the 8 underneath as well. I don't want to leave Seminole Chief off. This is Joel Rosario. He screws me every time. If you scratch out the 2 back at Aqueduct on February 3rd, the horse is pretty much lights out, pretty strong. Yeah, optional claiming 75,000, nothing to brag about, but it does have the non-graded stakes race at Gulfstream Park. It's 2 wins on 3 trips over the surface, so I'm gonna make sure I put Seminole Chief in there at a price, God willing. I think the 1 Frankie's Empire is going to improve as well. This is one I'm going to have in for my exotics on the try. Never been on Lasix. Probably that bodes well. There's a few on here that are coming off Lasix. I don't like those moves, especially for 3-year-olds. And then I guess last but not least, to throw on the ticket for a price in the try, in the exotics, or if you're playing on your super, I would probably also throw the 10 in there as well, Fierceness, to clean it up. That's where I figure 3rd, 4th place for Fierceness. Should improve, but I'm disregarding the eyeballs that we had on this horse 4 months ago.
Yeah, I'm actually really, really excited about this pick. I really like the 9. I took a very deep look. First of all, going back-to-back at Gulfstream, I think is a huge plus, right? Improving sure. Each time. You're seeing the improvements. You're seeing great workouts. Loves the surface, right? So I took a look at that. The one thing I want you guys to do, if you haven't done it already, is I want you to take a look at the breeding. This is where I kind of fell in love with it. Obviously, City of Lights is the same as Fierceness. They both come out of City of Lights. If you look at City of Lights, there's a lot of things that you could probably look at that horse and say, just on that breeding alone, is a Gulfstream winner, right? City of Lights won the Pegasus in 2019, right? You take that a step further, you take a look at the breeding, and you go back even further. Quality Road, right? Quality Road, multiple wins, multiple graded stakes wins with this horse. 2 races, graded stakes races. The one at, was it the Don Handicap, won that race, mm-hmm. and also won the Ghost Zapper at Gulfstream Park. So mm-hmm. you see that. Then you take a look a little bit even further, and you look at the mare side, and you take a look at Pulpit. Pulpit is different from, obviously, the Fierceness breeding. Pulpit won the Florida, or came in 2nd the Florida Derby, won the Fountain of Youth. So, I mean, from a breeding perspective, you take that even further. You look at AP Indy. This is different breeding than, obviously, Fierceness. Yeah. AP Indy is a Breeders' Cup Classic winner at Gulfstream Park. Right. So all of these horses, all of these races, all the breeding in this race says that this horse loves the Gulfstream surface.
Dirt, routes, Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. Checks every single box when it comes to the breeding. So that's why I fell in love with Conquest Warrior. Go on horse racing, or was it horseracingnation.com?
Yeah, HRN.
Yeah, you can take a look at there. You can go back and see all the breeding. But that's the one thing I did, is I looked at all the breeding on both sides, and this horse, I mean, screams Gulfstream Park winner. I love everything I'm seeing there. I fell in love with the training aspect. It's Shug McGahee. I mean, you can't go wrong there. The horse is looking very well. Jose, from a jockey perspective, is having a great year. He actually, I don't know if he is now anymore, but I mean, he was 1st overall in wins for the year of 2024.
Yeah, I think he's still so far over his brother. Yeah.
So he's having a great year. I think that he's going to make a stamp here. He's going to put a horse on the board and have a very, very strong opportunity. I have the 9 on top. I'd be crazy if I left off Hades underneath. So I have the 2 underneath. And I think the 10 obviously is going to be, I mean, Fierceness you have to have underneath as well. So, but I'm all over this 9. It's my strongest play of the day from a breeding perspective. It just screams winner at Gulfstream to me.
I like it.
So
I like the dive.
That's my winner. Yeah.
I think what we really got here is just key Fierceness in for 3rd. I think that's where we're all at.
Yeah.
It's just keep him in for 3rd and go for the prices. Again, I don't have odds. I don't know what we're looking at. Hades has got to be up there near the favorite, I would assume, after Fierceness, close to it.
Yeah, I think 4 or 5 to 1, I thought. 3 or 4 to 1.
Okay. And what's the 9 then? What's Jose?
He's 3 to 1. And three Hades, 1. Excuse me, 7 to 2.
7 to 2. Okay.
Yeah. And then Fierceness 8 to 5.
Yep. All right. Well, I hope I talked everybody off of Fierceness, because I don't see that horse doing.
Well, hopefully you talked him off and Fierceness doesn't win. That's the key. That's the key.
Yeah, I said I'm going on a limb.
You never know. I mean, we'll see.
It should improve, though. I mean, it has to.
Yeah.
But it has to go. The only way it wins is going to the front. It's got to go out to the front. Side note on here, you just mentioned the Ghost Zapper. The Ghost Zapper is in race 7 on Saturday, and we talked to Safi a couple weeks ago, and Lure Him In is in that race. I actually like Lure Him In. He's got the rail position for Safi and Edwin Gonzalez. Just a side note, I'll be putting the one on top in that race in race 7.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. You did say scratching the two races to go to this race. So
yeah, so we got that live on the podcast. I'm going to follow with it. So I'll have cool. Lure Him In fresh from the trainer's mouth of the better opportunity.
Smart, smart.
Yeah, horse doesn't have to leave Gulfstream Park. Smart. Now, there are, I know Elio's been some UAE races. I have not looked at the UAE races for tomorrow. Have you, Elio?
No, that's good. That's what I'm doing now. I'm going right up to the pool. I'm literally, because I looked at the card today at Gulfstream a little bit, and I didn't like it. I thought it would be better. So, sometimes they make it a little bit better for the day before the big races.
Sure.
But it was just so. So I'm going to just spend my time at the pool looking at the UAE races. Gotcha. The last four or five for sure. Mm,
that sounds glorious. Sitting on the pool, handicapping me. Yeah. Any insights for the Arkansas Derby by chance?
No. Tell me something. Give me a winner, though. I'd love one.
Well, I think this all comes down to like Timberlake and Muth, but I think there's some prices that could be had. I like Timberlake, actually. Timberlake hasn't let me down yet. Been running pretty consistent.
Yeah, I mean, Timberlake looks strong. Yeah.
I would probably go with the two, which is Timberlake on top. You know, Muth just doesn't do anything for me since it's Baffert. It's not going to be in the Derby. It's just, you know, I don't know how you guys feel about that. Well, I know how the kid feels about that. But I guess if I was looking at price, I think Mystic Dan 7-2, that doesn't really scream anything for me. I think Just Steel is interesting. The 8 underneath. Maybe I think I'll go like a 2-8. Man, maybe 2-8-5, 2-8-5, and then hope Muth doesn't I have to put Muth in for third for the try if I was going to do it, but I can't leave it off the ticket. But
I was told by a pretty smart guy that when Baffert brings his horse across the country, he doesn't like to lose. So he said he gets very angry when he loses. So that's the only thing that gets me nervous.
Yeah, he's getting Juan Hernandez too. He's bringing Juan Hernandez over, who's taking a day off of Saturday. Which I mean, that is the top guy at Santa Anita. I think it's gonna be hard to beat Timberlake. But I also think that there's a level of Bob Baffert trying to just kind of, you know, stick his middle finger up to Churchill Downs this year and you know, and win all the races that he can just to show well, this is gonna be your field now because my horses aren't in it. You know, so. I think there's something to be said there. So I think the 2 and the 7 are going to be difficult to beat in that race.
Ice cold 2772.
Book it.
There you go.
Yeah, that's it. Get yourself your $6, $4 exacta and double your money. Get the hell out of there.
Exactly.
There's nothing sexy about two favorites coming in.
But I mean, if they win, it's better than ripping up a ticket.
Yeah.
If you play for $5,000, great.
If you got Elio or Dave money, it's great.
If you play it straight for everything I have in my bank account, we're sitting pretty.
You know what sucks though, or maybe it doesn't suck, is that I'm pretty sure Arkansas Derby goes off after Florida Derby. I'm almost positive they usually run that way. But if that's the case, you have a day at
you can unload,
and then you just unload on the double chalk.
Yeah,
2-7
could be.
You might be able to put $50,000 to double your money. Fuck.
Although I'm, it looks like so that race goes off at 7:45. It's saying
okay,
and I'm flying. I got to fly back that night, so I'm my flight is, what time is my flight? 9:30. So I probably have to leave right at that race.
Oh sure.
I'll just have
you'll be watching in the Uber.
Just have I'll be watching in the Uber. Yeah, exactly.
Put the funds on the DraftKings sportsbook.
The DraftKings sport. So I had to get back. My wife is like, if you're not home for Easter, don't come home.
You cannot miss Easter. You can't miss it.
No. We have an Easter egg hunt at my house with my kids and my nieces and nephews and stuff. She's like, I don't care what time you come home, you're putting out the egg. Like, there's, I have a list of things, but I get it.
As long as she lets you go, whatever you got to do to get there, fair
God,
enough.
God bless her.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't ask for much, Ellie.
No, I know. I owe her this one. Yeah.
Yeah, you owe her this one, I'd say. It's been a wild couple of weeks here for you. Well, I'm going to let you get back to your poolside and your handicapping. Hit us up if you have anything for the maiden races over in Dubai.
Yeah, definitely. We'll talk in the morning. And thank you guys as always. This is always, I look forward to it because you guys helped me out. You guys have been really good. Even last week, I checked. You guys had a couple winners last week too. So you guys have been very consistent through like the 6 or 7 weeks I've seen it. You've had a bunch of winners. So I hope that continues.
Yeah. Us too. Thank you.
Us too.
We look forward. We definitely look forward to having you on every week. It's, or every quarter. Yeah. Every quarter, yeah.
Well, it's every week.
Sorry, I got to jump the gun.
We got to put him on the monitor then. Got to add him to the podcast.
But yeah, thank you very much for coming on, Elio.
Yeah,
as always.
I know you're busy.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck with you. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Always fun having him on.
A blast. The best.
Yeah, boots on the ground in Miami.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds amazing right now. Right? I could use sitting in a pool, some sunlight.
That would be nice.
Also some DayQuil.
Yeah.
Sweating out.
Yeah, a little meth and just sitting outside.
And just laying there.
Yeah.
Beasting.
It's still pretty cold here. However, warm weather moving this way next week.
That would be nice.
Which is a plus.
That is plus.
So
plus.
I just kind of saw up to like Friday. I know we're like a week out, but I'm like, oh man.
Yeah.
High 60s, low 70s is like
summer. I haven't been weather watching.
Like I said, I looked yesterday and it
63 and partly cloudy. So
okay, I had 65 yesterday, so maybe they curved it down a little bit. Yeah. But hey, that's solid.
I'll
take it all day long.
Now, if I can kick this cold by then, that'd be great.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck's going on around here, but it's been a very rough, very high disease germ filled.
Pussy ass immune system. I just get sick all the time now.
I think that's in general.
Yeah,
honestly. Probably. But anyways, it's great having Elio on the podcast. We always enjoy having him on.
Of course.
Especially for Florida Derby. It's been like a tradition now.
Yeah, I mean, he's the greatest. He is the best. I mean, Hall of Fame guest, we say it all the time.
Yeah, he's
our favorite guest by far. And again, horse people are the best people, you know, who have known when we started this podcast that, you know, getting him on one time, we'd be as close as we are. You know, we just great guy. Glad we made the connection we did. And I look forward to having him on every single time.
Yeah. A lot more times with the Iceman to come. Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
Yes, sir.
Get out to Saratoga.
Let's hit this. Let's hit this big one, and then we're all gonna go home happy on Saturday.
Yeah, let's get some prices on Saturday. All right, pass the pancakes, will you?
Yeah.
For myself, Joey C. Note, and for the kid. Until next week. See ya.